You are listening to a Banzai Retro Club podcast. Language and topics may not always be appropriate for younger listeners. Press 1 for a groovy topic from the 1970s. Press 2 for an awesome topic from the 1980s. Or press 3 for a slamming topic from the 1990s. Please choose now. Too late. We have made your selection for you. Let's start the show.
But is this the whole crew? Is Scott and Rose and Dave?
Yes.
Whoa.
Yes, exactly. So you're, I'm here. Dave.
This is Scott.
Hey, Scott.
Hey.
I'm Dave. Oh, this is fun. This is awesome. I'm so excited.
This is really cool. I really love the show. I was listening to Pulp Fiction. We took the kids skiing today, and I was listening to Pulp Fiction episode while they were sleeping, but then heeding Dave's warning, the moment they woke up, I turned it off.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Not kid friendly.
So do you guys, I don't know the, can I ask you guys for, do you guys know each other from before this, or did you meet and start this? Because you all live in different places, right?
Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
You know, well, I started podcasting, and a good friend of ours is how I got the relationship with Scott, or at least I got told about Scott. It was after he had left the area and he moved to Florida. And it was like one of those deals where it was like, this guy really loves the 80s. And at the time, that was our show. We were doing 80s Reboot Overdrive. And, you know, he really knows a lot about the 80s. And, you know, you should talk to him. So I hooked up with Scott. And we're like, well, you know, let's do a show together and see how it goes. And then, you know, it's like I was a dealer. And, you know, he got hooked.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
It is a really fun medium. It's like living out all of my Wayne's World dreams of my childhood.
Excellent. Cable, Channel 10.
There you go.
Party time.
And then Rose, I'm trying to remember how that introduction went. I know that...
You told me, I remember this was after I'd been on the show, you know, for a few months as kind of a regular... you told me that you were interacting with Rose through Twitter.
Right.
And you guys went back and forth. You're like, we should have her on the show. And so we ended up talking about, what was our first topic? Was it
Island. Yeah, Desert Island mixtape. What song would you include? Yeah.
Right. Yeah, that was a lot of fun. So, and then after that, we just kind of had her back a few other times on a couple other topics, and it just kind of snowballed from there. We just became the three regulars. I mean, we've had guests in, and we've had step-ins and stuff since that. But it's been a lot of fun. It's a total blast. So it's one of the funnest things that I've done. And I just turned 50, so it's all of this is like really in my wheelhouse, and along with Dave and Rose and. But it's so much fun reminiscing about this stuff and just talking about it and geeking out on it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And you guys, you can feel the warmth on the other side when people are listening, for sure, that you guys are just loving it. So.
Cool.
It totally comes through. I spend a lot of time listening to podcasts these days, and you guys always put me in a happy place.
Excellent.
That's the goal.
Thank you. I mean, you sound so professional. My gosh.
Oh. You mean, like, have you listened to ours? Because it's me and my sisters basically having a conference call. I'm not sure if professional is the right word to describe
it. Well, you know, just your voice. Just, you know, it's like you and Scott, you know, have those, you know, professional radio voices. You know, just like you could broadcast from, like, the helicopter or something, and you'd still sound the same.
Oh, thank you.
All right, Rose. Awesome. Don't make me get my radio pipes out. Thank you. Right.
My sisters are relentlessly make fun of this, because before they knew I'd always wanted to start a podcast, and I had gone to one of these a seminar on like how to make money using your voice, and And it was very interesting, but I thought we were going to go and get like a tutoring, but it was really very well intentioned, but guys selling a very expensive class on how to, you know, do a radio thing. And I was kind of contemplating it, and my sister's just in the way only your, you know, best friends can, just put a mirror up, and they were like, dude, this is like in that episode of the Goldbergs when they tell Barry that he could be a mall model. And, you know, he's the most beautiful boy in the world. You cannot spend money on this.
Oh.
And so, Barry. And so they routinely, like, will be, if I'm in radio voice mode, they'll be sending me text messages being like, whoa, man, maybe you should try out for that mall model class again. Yeah, go for it.
Oh. Yeah. This is fun.
And Dave, your motto of be excellent is just super. It is perfect for this
era. Thank you, man. I really appreciate that. And I'm a little disappointed because Rose didn't call me out in that voice thing. So,
well, you know,
it's okay. It's okay. I'll cry at night. That's fine.
You all have great voices.
The overlord, Dave, you have to be perfect in all things. So it's just a given that you're amazing.
You all have great voices, and Dave, yours is absolutely awesome. So,
thank you. I appreciate that.
That was a good impression, by the way. Awesome.
Just awesome.
Awesome. That was at my sister's bat mitzvah. I didn't know I was supposed to make a speech, and they turned to me, and they turned to myself and my middle sister Lily, and Lily gave this amazing, eloquent speech, and then they looked at me, and I was like, oh shit. I'm supposed to give a speech, and I just said, Becky, you're awesome. And that was it. Still made fun of to this day by my mother's friends for the one word speech.
Drop the mic. That's it.
Yeah.
Wow, that's cool. All right. So let's see here. I want to see if I'm recording, and I am. Good stuff. Is it shy or shay?
It's shy. Shy. Yeah. Shy. Like the adjective.
Okay. Oh. Boy, I'm shy on that. Okay, fair enough.
There you go.
I'm gonna have to call you Pancake then.
Oh, you can call me. I guess you can call me that too.
Now, where did that come from?
So the genesis. So this has been this has been a thing. This is like a bucket list thing for me for many, many years. It started at a breakfast in New York after one of my friend's weddings, and it was this recognition that I was too old to continue eating all of the items on the breakfast menu for breakfast. And so I'm sitting there with a bunch of people, and I said, hey guys, let's just get pancakes for the table. And so it became kind of my thing every time I go out for breakfast is to order pancakes for the table. And then as I had always wanted to do the kind of multimedia stuff for fun that I've been doing lately, and I was trying to come up with a concept for it, pancake for the table just seemed to symbolize that, which is getting older, there are things you still really want to enjoy, and you want to share them with other people, and thus became the concept behind Pancake for the Table.
What a great message.
That is awesome. I knew it had some deep-seated meaning to it.
It does. It does have, and my general goal with the animations and the drawings and all those things, it all comes back to the pancake, is that that's my pancake. I'm sharing it with other people. I want to put positive things out there. That is where it all comes from.
Huh. I have a buddy who's got a website called Waffles at Noon.
Oh.
And this is weird, you know, he pancakes, waffles. But he's got a website where he like goes out, and it's like a Snopes type website where he debunks a lot of things that are out in the news and stuff. It's actually pretty interesting. But I never thought to ask, like, dude, where did you come up with that name? Because there's got to be something to it, right?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe there is a mystery having to do with waffles in his hometown that he debunked that led to the...
Maybe. Maybe they're not really Belgian.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yes.
I mean, I didn't know.
As long as you put crunchy peanut butter on them.
Oh, please tell me at some point we will get to do some crunchy or creamy today. It was like, I know it's your guys' show... But that is my one request, that at some point we will rate something in these movies, crunchy or creamy.
Well, I think we're going to have to rate the movie that we're going to probably talk about.
As crunchy or creamy.
Let's wait till we get towards the end of that.
Okay.
I think we got to get started then. Because I know, Scott, you don't have a lot of time, so.
No, you know, I just got to get up really early, and I'm going to live in the Eastern time zone, and I got to get up at, like, I don't know, 5:30 or something tomorrow. So
it, it really sounds like your problem.
Hey, I know. I'm down here, and it was, dude, it was absolutely gorgeous here today.
Shut up.
No, I know you're gonna hate me for this, but it was like 78 degrees, and we went to two different tiki bars this evening before we came home. I mean, it was right on the water, and we're watching the sunset. It was absolutely gorgeous. And Dave, I thought about you up in Chicago. I know it was 38 degrees there, which isn't too bad.
I hate you, Scott.
I know.
Sorry, did I say that out loud?
Ignore him. He does this to us every week. Every week. Some kind
of on a boat?
Party.
What the hell?
No, we did not. We are going on a
boat. Not this week.
We have one booked for 2 weeks from now. We got some friends coming in from Ohio, so we're going to go out on the boat and hit the island.
It's freaking February.
I know. So, Shy, I don't know if... If you don't know the story, I moved down here just a little less than 3 years ago from Chicago. And as you can tell, I'm absolutely loving every minute of it. Just like Loverboy says, loving every minute of it. Yeah.
That's awesome. Where are you in, like, central, southern, which part of Florida?
I'm outside of Tampa. Okay, so cool. That's like central Gulf Coast, which I really prefer the Gulf Coast. There's like minimal waves, so you can just kind of go out in the water and just float and just kind of hang. It's very salty, so you have good buoyancy, and it's amazing. It's truly amazing down here.
That's awesome. I was in Tampa once, and I had a grouper sandwich.
Oh yeah, grouper. It's a big thing down here.
Yeah. It was delicious.
Grouper's really good fish, you know. But thing is, I can't get any good northern fish down here, like walleye, you know, like good lake fish. Can't get that down here.
Decent pizza.
No, I found a place. I found a place for Chicago pizza.
Cannot be as good as Luminati's.
I had Portillo's twice this last week, by the way.
Oh, well, okay. That works.
So...
Some regional selections there if you're not familiar with the Chicagoland area.
I've been to Chicago a couple of times, and I went there as an adult, so I walked around Chicago for like a week being like, have people heard of this amazing place, Chicago? The food's great, the people are nice, people really got to check out Chicago.
It's a pretty cool place.
Oh my goodness.
I don't know, people being nice, but okay.
You're gonna say, you're sure you're in Chicago?
I'm a northeast kid, and so I've spent most of my life on Sun City related to I-95 or I-87, and I just think everyone in the Midwest and further west is just a little, I don't want to say nicer, because I feel very much attached to the Northeast, but you know, people are just nicer in the middle and further west, in my experience.
So what are you near?
Me? So I'm in Virginia right now, near the D.C. area.
Okay.
Born in Philly, but spent most of my life in Montreal.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, nice.
Canadian.
Ish,
all right.
Yeah.
Eh?
Yeah.
Throw a lot of A's in there now.
Yeah, well, that comes out sometimes. If I go back there, whew, my accent changes based on wherever I am.
We'll get you some maple syrup, eh?
Oh, mm. Always the top duty-free gift.
I'm sure.
Well, yeah, it's like $12 an ounce or something, isn't it?
Oh, it is? Wow. I don't know. I have no idea.
It's pretty expensive. Out of the country, anyway, if you have to send it where I'm at in the Northwest, in Seattle. So when I go to the store and buy maple syrup, I go, whew! Mm-mm. Where's Aunt Jemima?
I admittedly have always liked the synthetic syrup more.
It's very apropos for the pancake for table.
Oh yeah, I mean, you know, like if at any point you want to go deep on all the various breakfast foods and condiments, believe me, that
that's something you're a subject matter expert. Huh?
Yeah, there are all the virtuous reasons why pancake for the table exists, and then there is my general love of pancakes and breakfast and diners, and I spend a lot of time thinking about where my favorite pancakes are and whatnot.
That's cool. Did you happen to see it all? I'm just going to divert really quick, only because I've been watching this show fiendishly for a couple months. Jerry Seinfeld's Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee.
I have seen a few episodes of it over time. Are they
Right.
I feel like it's replaying, or are there new episodes? Because my sister just got into it. I'd
watched it back
in the day.
Right, because it was on Crackle. It was on Crackle initially, and now it's moved to Netflix. And now all of the seasons are on Netflix. And there's this one episode where he's talking, he's having breakfast, and he always goes to these diners and little kitschy places, and he's having breakfast with Larry David. And he actually says that, he's like, so you don't really eat anymore. He's like, I still love my pancakes. So I have to have a pancake. But he talks about all this stuff that he just doesn't eat, you know, out or in general, in his very regimented diet, he says, but my guilty pleasure is pancakes. Yeah.
Well, I identify.
Yeah. But,
cause there's a lot of things I can't. There's a lot of things I can't eat anymore. But yeah. Too. So.
All right. I think we're going to get started.
Yeah.
Officially, even though we are started, but we'll be official now.
Okay.
So roll bumper. Blah blah blah. yada yada yada. Whatever you want to say.
This is 80-something podcast.
Banzai! Banzai! Banzai!
Banzai!
Hey, where's the meat? I don't think there's anybody back there.
You or any of your family ever seen a spook, specter, or ghost?
If the answer is yes, then don't wait another minute. Pick up your phone and call the professionals. Go
Ghostbusters!
Our courteous and efficient staff is on call 24 hours a day to serve all your supernatural elimination needs.
We're ready to believe you!
And now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
G.I.
Joe! It to each other. And party on, dudes!
All right, this is Banzai Retro Club. Can you dig it? I am Dave. Online, I've got Rose.
Hello.
And Scott.
Hi, everybody.
And special guest from Friday Night Pod, Shai.
Shalom.
Shalom. Oh, great greeting. You know, I didn't prepare Shai for this, but there's something that I think we have to acknowledge right from the beginning. We actually got our first voicemail through our website. So Scott and Rose, did you get a chance to listen to that?
Yes.
So Shai, just to bring you up to speed, there is a gentleman named Frederick who's been listening to us since 80s Reboot Overdrive, which is the podcast we used to do, from Denmark, and he's just awesome. Just an awesome interactor with us. He sends us emails that tells us what's going on, where what he likes about the show. Just absolutely fantastic fan. And we set up the button on our website that allows people to send us a voicemail. And he was our first voicemail. And it was just really awesome. So I'm going to edit that into the podcast. So unfortunately, you don't get to listen to it right now. Sorry, Shai.
No problem. I was actually dying. I meant to leave you guys one. I'm going to leave you guys one this week. So it's coming.
That's awesome.
Cool.
Oh, thank you.
But Frederick just gave us some feedback on the 1975 time capsule episode. So he talked, he went to a little bit in depth with the talking about Jaws and One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. It was just really awesome to hear his voice, which is something we'd never heard before, but just great to get that kind of feedback, as usual, from Frederick. So I want to thank him for that.
Hello, amigos. Anonymous Danish dude here. This is kind of like speaking to an answering machine, and it's not my favorite thing in the world. It's kind of artificial. But I think I should share my voice, since I've been a listener for so long, and, well, I guess you should be allowed to hear my voice too. The movie One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, I really love that movie. It's a funny and quirky movie, but it also have this undertone of malice and horror, and that tension in the whole movie itself makes it really emotionally strong. And also, of course, the movie Jaws is fantastic. The scene where Robert Shaw tells the story of the USS Indianapolis, I think that's the best scene of the film, and it is really just him speaking out of the film to the viewer, and it's so powerful. Well, yeah, I just want to share those little thoughts, and well, thank you for the podcasts, and I think I would also emulate Dave and say, be excellent to each other.
I don't know, Scott, Rose, did you have anything to add to that?
No, it was awesome to hear his voice. I mean, it's nice to hear somebody actually like interacting with us. And we know Frederick's been doing this for a little while now, and it's good to have the feedback and be part of the show. I mean, this isn't just for us. It's not about this. Isn't really about like just the three of us geeking out on 80s stuff. We want everybody to enjoy it and be part of it and send us, you know, suggestions and have their input, and it's we get that every once in a while, and it's a lot of fun to be able to interact with the people through that way, you know. I love that you added the voicemail option on the website, Dave. Thank you.
Yeah, ever since I found out about that free like service, I was like, oh my god, I have to do this. So I'm just, that's why I've been pimping it. I've been like, come on, people, leave us a voicemail. Leave us a voicemail. Begging.
Yeah.
But the reason for tonight is, Shai, when we started interacting, what had happened was, and for those of our listeners that aren't on Twitter, what Kristen was on our show, and we talked a lot of, we went into this big tangent about creamy or crunchy. And what happened was, you know, we're talking about peanut butter, and this was something that evolved from a comment that Scott made way back when, and then it evolved into just classifying anything and everything that we possibly could as creamy and crunchy. And then what Shai did was he took it to the next level, and he created an animated GIF on for us that was, you know, that showed creamy and crunchy kind of dancing together, but he put the music from Breaking into the animated GIF. And then all of a sudden we were interacting back and forth about the movie Breaking. It evolved into this thing where it's like, that's just a movie we have to talk about. And so that's kind of the backstory. And now, so this episode is going to be talking about Breaking. And Shai is here to help us through that conversation.
Well, thank you so much for letting me be a part of this. I feel like in some ways my whole life has been a podcast about Breaking, because I can't tell you how often we talk about these movies in my house, and with my sisters in particular. We are constantly talking about all the different angles of the movie, so it is a pleasure to join you guys to talk about this.
Very cool. It's very cool, and we're so excited to have you on, because, I mean, there's so many different interactions that we've had with you kind of since this whole Team Hot Stuff. That's kind of redundant, sorry.
But that's kind of the fun of Team Hot Stuff. I love doing that when I reference it. Keep your hot stuff, you know, keep your stuff hot with your Team Hot Stuff gear. I love all that.
Oh, McDLT all the way.
Yeah, one should use. Yeah,
hot stuff, and then cool stuff on the other side, so.
Oh, my mom used to get those.
Oh, we're all about the retro. So Breaking is the movie that we want to talk about tonight. What we're going to geek out about for this episode, even though we've geeked out already for quite a bit, but just kind of getting our feet wet as far as the conversation. And also, what's important for you to know is that I've been invited to be on Friday Night Pod to talk further about Breaking and Breaking 2. So this is going to be kind of a collaboration episode between these two podcasts.
We are psyched. My sisters and I were game planning today about the Dave crossover episode that we're going to tape next week.
Uh-oh. I'm being ganged up on. I need backup.
You're always that's basically my whole life is being ganged up on by my two sisters. And just to clarify, it is Friday Night Movie Pod.
Friday Night Movie Pod. Sorry about that.
The Friday Night Movie is the key element because it's a reference to our childhood of going every Friday nights to the movies.
All right.
Otherwise, if it's Friday Night Pod, it just sounds like we're in, you know, Shabbat dinner at our house or something like that.
you're Friday night having pancakes.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry about that. I will mental note. Got it corrected. All right. So Breaking.
Dave, can I correct you again? It's
Breaking. Oh, my God.
It's Breaking.
Breaking.
It's not Breaking. There's no G.
Oh, my God. Are you taking over?
No, I'm not.
Who the hell is the overlord here? All right. All right. So break in.
Breaking. It's Breaking. It's a soft G.
Okay. All right. So now we're talking about this movie. We're moving on here, people. Come on.
Okay.
Work with me. It sounds like, and Shai, you're not familiar with the conversations that we've all had, Rose, Scott, and I, about, you know, the different topics for our podcast. But it seems like there's kind of a line between, you know, the love-hate relationship with this movie. I don't know where to go with this, but I'm really curious because this has been baking in my brain. I want Scott to start. I want Scott, I want you to tell us your thoughts on Breaking.
Okay. I have to share some stories, okay? Before I go into the movie. So back in the summer of 1984, I was a sophomore. I just got my license in January, and I spent the summer at my grandparents in the Chicago area. And all my friends that lived in the Chicago area that I kept in touch with throughout the years after I'd moved to Southern California, I went back and forth for the summers. Anyway, that's just a little tidbit. So I kept going back to Chicago, and in that summer, they all got into this breakdancing thing, right? And the movie had just been released in May, and I went there in June, and they were just all really into it. So they even had their own little crew, okay? And there was about 7 or 8 of them that were really, really into it, and they all dressed in black and red. And they went to roller skating rinks, and they had their routines down, and they all like were breakdancing and having breakdance battles against each other. It was crazy how popular this was. And so this
tell me they called themselves Latter Rock.
No, I will tell you their name. Their name was Electric Boogie Crew.
Nice.
Now, EBC. Was that named before Breaking 2 Electric Boogaloo's name was released?
This is before Electric Boogaloo was released. So this is summer of 84. Breaking 2 didn't come out until later.
The same year.
Was it later that year?
I think it was like 6 months later or something like that.
Yeah. No, it was before that came out. But they were Electric Boogie Crew. And they didn't have like nicknames or anything like that, but they were all really, really good. Like they could pull off the moves, and I was never good at that kind of stuff. They were all into gymnastics too, being a Midwest thing. Gymnastics in the high schools was very popular. So they all had a lot of skills that they could convert over into breakdancing, where I grew up in Southern California, my skills were, let's just say they were other things. I could roll things, you know. Anyway.
Enough said. Wink, wink, yeah. Nudge, nudge.
Yeah. So they even had lined up, and this was classic, man. I used to borrow my grandparents' car because, you know, I was only there part-time, and I just turned 16, and I borrowed my grandparents' car, and we threw these sheets of cardboard up on the roof of this, I think it was a Mercury, like a four-door Mercury, and we put this cardboard up on top of the roof of the car, and we drove to a Domino's grand opening, and they had booked a Domino's grand opening for a breakdancing show, all my buddies.
This is amazing.
So, you know, isn't it cool?
This is incredible.
So they all had their own, like, their own moves, you know, like one guy was really good with the helicopters, and this guy, Pat, he could spin on his head forever. It was amazing. In fact, he even got a little bald spot on his head from doing it so much. And then, I know. And he's like, you know, 15 at the time. he's a year younger than all of us. So anyway, he was really good at it. And then my cousin could do like what they called mini helicopters, where he could do the full swing helicopter and then pull his legs in a little bit and make it even tighter and faster. These guys were incredible. And they did a Domino's grand opening right down the street from my grandparents' house. It was so awesome. So I had a lot of good time, a lot of fun that summer for sure. So we even had this, there's another bowling alley just up the street from her house. And there was a place called Dilligaff's. It was a bar, but on Thursday nights, it would open up for teenagers. Okay. And they would go up there every Thursday night, and they would have battles, you know, breakdancing battles every Thursday night. The one song that I remember the most is Jam On It by Nucleus.
Nice.
So anyway, that's my story about that. I remember seeing the movie back in the day, the original, you know, back when it came out. And I thought it was really cool because all my friends were doing that stuff. But I was a major metalhead, so I didn't really care about the music that much. Anyway, I know I'm rambling on. Don't mind me. I go on rambles.
It sounds like you're spearing, too.
Hear it? Yeah.
Yeah, I hear it spearing.
So I watched this movie when just, you know, like a month ago when you and Shy started interacting and said, oh, we might do a podcast on breaking. And I was like, okay, I could hardly watch it.
That's like a,
I'm sorry.
That's like, I don't know what breakdance move, but whatever it is, it's, you just did it to my gut and heart at the same time.
Sorry. You know, it was really a cool, a fun experience to be part of it. But I'm watching this movie going, oh my God, how is this? I don't remember it being this bad. Like, the acting is horrendous, of course, but, you know, they're not actors. They're dancers, which they're very talented, and it's fun to watch them dance. But like in between dance scenes, there's not a whole lot going on. So I was kind of like really struggling to get through the thing.
You're not moved by Ozone's Tortured Artist, huh? Or Turbo's playful view of the world.
You know, you're going deep, right? you're dissecting the real meat of the movie.
So this is your 2018 perspective. But back in the 80s, it was cool, though.
It was cool. I mean, I don't remember if I saw the second one. I probably did, but I don't recall it. And I haven't had, you know, done that. I was too busy the last few weeks just to sit down and watch Breakin' 2. So anyway,
it's only 88 minutes long, though, for the record.
That is true. So I know and the other one's only 90. The first one's only 90. Yeah. So
which actually, so my reaction to the time length is whenever I watch this movie and I'm like, why do movies need to be longer than 88 minutes? They got everything they needed in this one.
They packed it all in with no problem.
So your synopsis then is what? Bad acting?
I don't know. It was a lot weaker than I remembered it being, but you know, that's looking from a 50-year-old perspective versus a 16-year-old perspective. So anyway, I still love them. If you guys know me for loving the bad movies, you should know this by now, right?
Unfortunately, yes.
Even though I didn't like the movie this time around, I still love the nostalgia of it. And I still love that. I love that it's a bad movie. Actually, I kind of enjoy that part of it too. So, anyway, thanks, Dave, for picking me first.
And that's the reason why I wanted to, because I was so curious to know where you were going to go with that.
So I have a lot of great memories tied to breakdancing, but when I was watching the movie, I'm going, I don't remember it like this. So, anyway, Shy, don't.
don't hate Scott is well, what he's saying.
So first of all, I don't hate you at all. I appreciate the honesty. I think a really interesting thing, and I've picked up on this in listening to your show, particularly when you guys do stuff from the 70s, which for the most part is before I was born. Mm-hmm. Although I was born at the tail end of the 70s, I think some of the difference in our impressions, right? Should I go into my impressions of the movie now? I don't want to.
No, you're completely fine. Okay. Yes, that's perfect.
So this movie for myself and my two sisters, who are the co-hosts of the podcast that we do. So I was probably five when we saw, five, maybe six when we saw the movie for the first time on VHS. And my parents had bought the album right away. So we had the record. And then my other sisters are 3 and 5 years younger than me. So for us, there was...
I hate to interrupt you, Shai, but your parents bought the album too?
Oh, yeah. We had the record. And
nice.
As an adult, in tracking down the record on eBay, I made sure that I it looked exactly like the one I remembered with Kelly, Ozone, and Turbo kind of jumping in the air on the front, because I wanted the one that would recreate that experience. So I do own the record again now. So my parents bought the album, and they showed us this movie, and for them it was like a revelation. They thought it was just so cool. And for us as kids, we didn't know what a good movie or a bad movie was. We were just immediately enamored with Ozone and Turbo, mm-hmm. And my sisters in particularly with Kelly. And I mean, we wanted to be these characters right away. And so for me, there was no like context of teenagers right away or to mix with that feeling of being, you know, 4 or 5 and seeing something like this. And it just, so it always goes back to that experience of that imagination and excitement of when you see something before you have a critical eye. And so I can't really detach my current experience from it. But we recently showed it to all the kids. We had some friends over and we showed it to the kids. And again, I love showing my kids movies from the 80s in particular before they're old enough to know what's bad, so that they can enjoy the magic of these movies before they're too old. And before they realize, you know, before they see, you know, better products and they can't enjoy them. Because I got a small window here. I got a small window where they're going to like these. And then eventually it's just going to be the Descendants nonstop. I don't know if you guys have to deal with that. The Descendants, it's a Disney Channel thing.
No.
Yes.
So for me, I mean, I remember wanting to get red sweatbands right away, like
Ozone.
Oh,
yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I remember doing breakdance moves, which in my head were like amazing. And now that I've seen video footage of myself at that age, it's hilarious. Not amazing. But so we danced like no one was watching, or like everyone was watching, and we thought we were awesome.
I sent you guys all a picture on Facebook Messenger, of a few of my friends that were in the break dancing crew. So you can see that they are wearing red sweatbands. So just check that out when you get a chance. It's pretty funny stuff. I think he's wearing a red sweatband. Nope. Oh yeah. No, he's got the bandana. Anyway. I love the fact that you're exposing your kids to this stuff and teaching them the culture that we grew up with. Now, I know you're a little younger than myself, but it's really cool that you're doing that, because then they don't know the difference. No. You know, how old are they?
They're 6 and 4, and they get They get infused with all the other. I mean, I love pop culture. I love TV shows. I love being a part of that as a kid, and I want them to be and enjoy their own zeitgeist of whatever's going on with their age. But there's no reason not to expose them to some of this just wacky, awesome stuff that we got to enjoy when we didn't know any better.
Yeah, I introduced my youngest to Never Ending Story, and she thought it was awesome.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, of course it is. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, if you're 4 and you see Falcor, are you kidding me?
Yeah, exactly.
A flying dragon dog. You're not like, oh, I wish they used CGI.
No. And this is a girl that, you know, loves the Avengers and loves Captain America. And I was able to introduce her to, like, yeah, Falcor. And she was like, that's cool. And, you know, it's like, of course I want to be on a flying luck dog. I'm like, of course anyone would. So it was just awesome. It was just really awesome to have that moment with her. So I get it. I get the what you're trying to parenting done right, I think is what we called it.
Thank you. Yeah, I believe they can rise to the challenge.
Yeah. So Rose, you've been pretty quiet through all this. What's your take on breaking?
Oh man. I watched this movie today for the first time probably in a long time. I want to say 20 years, maybe. Might have been more. I'm considerably older than all of you. So when I watched Breaking, I watched it with my kids. And my youngest daughter was born in 1984. So she was probably about 4 years old when we saw this movie. Probably went to that. Did the whole thing like you, shy, except we did Friday night movies at the video store. And we'd go and we'd rent the whole contraption and bring it home, plug it in, blah, blah, blah. Amazing. Everybody had their favorite movie. And it was just, you know, there were always favorites that were, depending on the age of the child, there were always favorites that were watched considerably all the time, I suppose. So, and mom would get a few for herself to watch after everybody went to sleep. So Breakin' was definitely, it was a family favorite because I was going through this whole, you know, love of dancing. You know, it was, they would just, Hollywood just inundated the world with dance movies, with Footloose and Flashdance and Breakin', and there's something else I'm missing.
Dirty Dancing.
Thank you. Everybody wanted to be a dancer. Everybody wanted to be a dancer. But this was so much more than that. It was a different kind of dance that no one had seen before, and yet it had been going on for quite some time. You know, they didn't really just like come up with the concept of street dancers. This stuff was like real. If I'm not mistaken, I believe it like originated on both coasts at the same time. It was in New York and in Los Angeles too. And it was part of the whole hip hop culture, you know. So it was, I didn't remember Ice-T being in it, honestly. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, it's Ice-T.
Did you remember Jean-Claude Van Damme?
No.
He was in it. In one of the opening scenes. I was reading the trivia and I'm like, no way.
Really?
Yeah, he's just some guy in the crowd at the beach.
He's wearing a unitard doing the dance that you would eventually see him do. I think it's in Kickboxer. I don't know how much you know about the background of the movie and the directors, but this company Canon Films, there's two documentaries out about them, but I've seen one. It's actually called Electric Boogaloo.
I've seen one of the about the Canon Films.
It's the highest grossing Canon film.
No kidding, more than
of all, yeah, all of them. Wow. It's the highest grossing Canon film.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's on their IMDb, trivial stuff. I was reading through it all. I'm like, this is really fascinating.
Well, those are the guys who discovered Van Damme. So it's not even like a coincidence that he's in this movie. But they were like, they're these two cousins from Israel, Golan and Glovis.
Oh, right. I do remember seeing that. Yep, I do remember seeing that. Yeah, I'm not really a big fan of him, but honestly, if he was in it, I'll have to take your word for it because I didn't see him. But
Van Damme it.
The acting is a little off or not that great or however you want to spin it. I don't think any of them really were actors. But except for Christopher McDonald, who doesn't love him? Shooter McGavin. I remember I actually liked him from Chances Are. So then when he became Shooter McGavin, it was like, okay, you can be a dick if you want. That's okay. I remember you and Homegirl in that movie. But so watching this movie again, it was like, oh, this is so cool. I remember. My boys, watch me, Mom. I'm standing on my head, and I just knocked over a lamp, and it's just like, okay, can we just wait till the movie's over before we show me your sweet breakdancing moves? Possibly somewhere where there's more room. I don't know. But it was just, I think it was that whole concept of, we all know how to do stuff, and we've been doing it for a long time, and here comes this other person that says, oh, hey, we could be famous doing this. No, we're just good the way we are, and we're having fun doing whatever. And, it's just, I don't know. I liked it for what it stood for. I thought it was awesome. I'm a personal believer. Sorry for anybody out there who hates me to say this. I really didn't think there needed to be a second one. I really didn't want there to be a second one. And when I watched it, I was like, ugh. See, now everybody's got better costumes and they've taken acting lessons and it's just like, oh God, thank you. Gremlins 2. Anyway.
I'm just getting my butt kicked on this show. I love Gremlins 2.
Gremlins 2. Dave, before you give us your breakdown of the movie, can I just say that Kelly, also known as Special K, although Special K may be crunchy in the world of cereal, she is very creamy and mighty.
Oh
my God.
Laid on a little thick.
Come on, she was cute. I liked her a lot. I like that. That was one thing that stood out in the movie for me when I watched her. I'm going, wow, she's really cute. I like her a lot. So
I'm a Shabba-Doo girl. Thank you very much.
so then it doesn't sound like your recent viewing was positive, Rose.
It was a reminiscence. It was a nostalgic look back on times gone by. I remembered some of the stuff I didn't remember, but the whole concept of the movie still holds true to me. I just, look back on it with older eyes, different mindset, and I kind of go, yeah, I could see it happening, but because it's hard to compare. It's hard to compare that with everything that's happened. You fast forward 2018, it's been there, done that. Who knew about breakdancing? Then you see all those people that were like, "Oh, we don't want those; they're straight people." You know, so it's just like, yeah, well, they have just as much talent as some of your professional dancers, maybe even more, because they're having fun doing what they're doing. Now, it's like everybody's doing something. Everybody's rapping and breaking and popping and locking and whatever, you know? So it's just like, they're going to have to, you know, step their game up a little bit. For nostalgic purposes, it's an awesome movie. I still love it. It brings me the warm fuzzies when I see it again. So
cool. All right, so I guess I am about to just ruin my invite over to Shai's podcast now. Yeah.
You too, Dave?
Well, don't worry. Don't worry. That'll make it interesting because we have to have differing opinions because you're just going to have, otherwise it's going to be three people talking about which character they wanted to be when they were little.
All right, so I'll go on record to say what Scott was saying about Special K. Yeah, I had a crush on her. She was, you know, very cute, beautiful. Back in the 80s, this movie was it for me. You know, I really enjoyed watching the movie. I, you know, a lot like what you guys were talking about, you know, I did those things in the secret of my room of protecting, you know, trying to dance like them, thought I was doing okay, but I probably wasn't. Luckily, there was no recorders, so there's no way that you would ever know how well I did. Back then, this movie in the 80s, when it was released, it kind of gave, you know, a person like me who is in a small southern town this viewpoint of, you know, city streets, for lack of a better way of putting it. You know, what it would have been like on the streets, even though, you know, obviously it's Hollywoodized. But, you know, that was kind of their, you know, the edge, you know, that was going on. You think of movies like that. Think Beat Street. I think there was a movie called Rapping. You know, all of those things that kind of had this edge to them. And you're like, okay, that's what things were like on the city and in the streets and the people that just were doing their thing and they were into their art, you know, and I appreciated that, you know, as, you know, even as a teenager. So back then it was the bomb, but now that I revisited it, everything Scott said, I agree 100%, just not good acting. Just really, I wanted to like it more than I, you know, as from the nostalgia factor, but I wasn't getting it. I wasn't jumping in on board where I was like, this was better than I thought it was better than it is. And it fell flat. And then ultimately, and you guys are going to hate me for this, but ultimately at the end, they sell out.
What?
They sell out. I mean, the whole thing where they, you know, at the end of it, they get this major production thing. They're no longer on the streets.
Well, you see, so I'm going to quibble, okay?
Please.
So number one, loud. The name of the show is Street Jazz. So they're, you know, and they hire all the street dancers from the movie. So they bring their people with them. So even the electro rock guys who they battle with earlier are featured.
Yeah, I thought that part was cool, though. You're right.
And of course they bring in all of Kelly's dancer friends as well for this great amalgamation of all of the dances, which I think is some of the message. But then also, you got to look at it in terms of the continuum of the universe building that they've done here. I'm being a little bit tongue in cheek there, but when you get to Electric Boogaloo, they actually go back to doing what they were doing, Ozone and Turbo. They're not able to get work. They kind of go back to being, they're sort of a little more experienced, and maybe they live in a better garage. They seem to live in the garage repeatedly, but they're in a better garage in the sequel. But Kelly goes off into her sort of affluent dancer world, and they kind of stay behind. So I actually think that if you look at the continuum of Ozone and Turbo in particular, I don't think they sell out. In fact, that's why the world needed Electric Boogaloo, to make sure you knew they didn't sell out.
Yeah, but then Special K moved on. She was like, screw you guys. I've got, now that you've helped me catapult my career, I'm moving on. See you later.
But it happens.
Screw you.
Well, it happens. In real life.
So what are you saying, Rose? You're going to drop me? What the hell? You're our special K. Please let me be Turbo. Let me be Turbo. Scott can be Ozo.
Oh, you guys are great.
But so then you're saying that because they stayed grounded, then that makes it okay?
Well, no, I was just, if the point is that they sold out, I mean, I actually would have liked it for them to sort of become famous and have their art get recognized. I don't think they needed to sort of stay, you know, battle dancing in the clubs to be authentic and real. You know, mm-hmm. I think if anything, they ultimately get to the stage on their own terms, or at least their own terms that they conceived together with Kelly, as opposed to in the fancy top hats and stuff that they wear when they're pretending to be the Allegra Gavacci dance trio.
I can't believe you retained that.
So you guys mentioned that all these people came together at the end for the finale, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in the trivia thing that I was reading, I was trying to find it just now. In the Electric Boogaloo, the Wild Untold Story of Canon Films.
Oh, yeah, you watched that's that, the movie, right? I've seen. Yeah.
So it says that Ozone claimed that the film did what the United Nations couldn't do by bringing people together. And I thought, I'm like, wow, that's kind of cool. And that's something that I always looked at as far as breakdancing goes. It's like, it was this way that the initial intent of breakdancing was to get away from violence and mm-hmm. have these gangs that are together, you know, like dance off instead of mm-hmm. shoot yeah. guns at each other, which is great. That's a great idea. It's great that, you know, that's there you go. Be excellent to each other. Just dance, right? Just dance it off. So it was just a little thing that he said that it, you know, United Nations couldn't do this, but we brought people from several different walks of life all together to join in to have one big happy finale. So anyway, that's all I am.
I feel like the ground the ground beneath you, Dave, is slipping.
So you think Scott is turning coded? Is that what you're saying?
I think it's hard. I think it's hard not to connect to the heart of the movie. But you know, I understand what you're saying, and I appreciate the selling out issue. I have more so has to do with, if you follow the sequel, is Kelly going off and leaving them. Less to do with Ozone and Turbo staying grounded, but Kelly going off, and she's going to Paris. She's going to be a chorus line dancer. She hasn't seemingly been, even though the movie was made 6 months later, it seems like maybe years have passed since she's been back hanging out with them. And that actually always bothered me about her, about if anything was that. And at the end, there's never really any resolution as to what happens to them in the whole story.
Yeah.
Like, did they learn their lesson? Yeah. Did they stay friends forever after Electric Boogaloo? Yeah. I don't know. I hope so.
I've got to rewatch it. It's been a long time since I saw Electric Boogaloo. But, and I appreciate you sending that to me. But, yeah, to my point, you know, the whole thing with them being sellouts, I mean, part of what kind of led up is, you know, why would Ozone and Turbo even subject themselves to this whole competition thing where they've got to win the hearts and minds of these judges? And then even then, that whole scene with them dancing and then suddenly the whole, you know, all the judges standing up and clapping, very cheesy, by the way. Well, in the 80s, I'm that was kind of
sure
cool.
I'm pretty sure that's
that
how...
was the thing. That was how 80s movies were. That was cheesy.
Absolutely. It worked for Flashdance.
We're talking about the nerd, you know, Robert Carradine's final speech at Revenge of the Nerds, you know? Was it Robert Carradine?
Yeah.
Robert, yeah.
It's a Carradine.
Yeah, it's one of the Carradines.
Close enough.
His final speech, you know, or Rocky's speech at the end of Rocky IV, you know, if we can all be together or whatever. That's the 80s. It's just cheesy. They had cheesy endings. It was beautiful. It's a beautiful thing. Yeah.
When did I become the asshole of the show?
I mean, that group of judges are pretty awful early on. I mean, they turn on a dime pretty quickly. But initially, I mean, they come off as abysmal, close-minded, prejudiced people. And then I guess they, you know, Ozone, Turbo, and Kelly dance their way into their hearts. Even that big sideburned guy, his heart melts. He tells Franco to go away. We haven't talked about Franco. We got to talk about Franco at some point.
Oh, now is that the that's the dance instructor, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stalker.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, he's
he
is creepy. Ultra creepy.
So in back to the teachable moment parenting thing, he has become the absolute expression of villain in my household because we have used the scene where he kisses Kelly forcibly for the entire our entire Me Too conversation in our house with our young daughters revolves around this scene because we use it to, because it's a really hard concept to talk about, but it's important these days. And this scene really helps you talk about it with your kids. Like, he kissed her without permission. You know, they were dancing, but she at no point gave him permission to do that. And that's not okay. And so she, you know, told him to go away and she ran away. And that's what you do. Mm-hmm. And then she, you know, breaks off the relationship and he's a bad guy. Very helpful to have that scene in the movie because he's really miserable.
Definitely. And the fact that, you know, when she pushed him away the first time and then he just lunged at her again, I'm like, oh my God, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that was like, ew, ew.
and I mean, again, just to go deep again on Breakin', you guys are going to get angry voicemails after this, but you know, the kids asked us, you know, but aren't they almost kissing when they're dancing? And you know, we're again having this sort of rudimentary conversation about consent with our kids about how they're doing a dance together and those dance have steps and they're acting as part of the dance. But there was a clear line drawn between acting and not acting. And when he broke that line, he was doing the wrong thing, you know, and that her dancing with him during the put your arms and charms around me part, you know, that's part of the dance. But that's different than after the music. So anyways, you know, the more you know, should that music theme song come on?
Public service announcement. Insert that here.
all the PSAs you can learn from Breakin'. Parenting, according to Breakin'.
Yeah, there you go.
And knowing is half the battle.
Wow.
Oh man, that scene when he tries to get them to stop dancing and they tell him to go away and then Ozone and then the TKO crew jump up onto the table and you sort of wash to the background. That is it. It's exactly what Scott said. That is how things were won in the 80s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Completely ignore what people tell you and do what you want.
Now, one of the things I did like about the movie, and I'll give it some credit now, is the face-off where they were doing kind of the battle between the Electro Rock and the TKO crew. Loved it. Absolutely loved the sequences. Loved the, you know, where it's like, forget these guys. And then they go off and then they kind of lick their wounds. And then all of a sudden Kelly joins the crew. And then it was just like, you know, a way that they kind of re-energized.
Yeah.
So I like that aspect of it.
Yeah. Throughout the whole movie, the thing that really kept the very moment the movie starts, you hear that imitable sound. Yeah. And I don't know what, you know, the technical term.
The Transformer sound?
Yeah.
That's what it is in my head. It's the Transformer sound.
Yes. Nice. You know, when you hear the fabricated break in, you know, I can't do it because obviously I'm not doing auto-tune, but it kind of sounds like auto-tune before auto-tune. But just the music throughout just still resonates with me, mainly because, you know, hello, 80s music girl. And Ollie and Jared, hey, no stopping us. Who doesn't, relate to that? That's Chaka Khan. Uh-huh. You know, a bunch of other people in there that I can't remember who they are. Because I listened to the soundtrack. I used to own soundtrack on cassette like years ago, but I don't have it anymore. But it's just, to me, that's just the whole glue, the foundation. If you would have had crap music with this movie, it wouldn't have got out of the theater. It would have done a Gem and the Holograms. You'd have had it there for like 2 weeks, and then the movie studios would be pulling that fucker like, stop it, we're losing money.
I think you hit on something hugely important about movies that have music in them, like that are music-based movies. That and I think music-based movies often overcome, music or dance-based movies overcome acting issues or story issues, partially because what has to be great in those movies is the music has to be great. You have to want to hear that music in those scenes, or if it's a movie like That Thing You Do with the song you're going to hear over and over and over again.
Yeah.
You've got to love that song, and I'm always in awe of the directors or the producers putting together these films that are able to pick music that just really works and resonates with people, because without that, it's exactly right. It's that Gem and the Holograms movie, which I haven't seen.
Yeah, and we just did a podcast recently on soundtracks, and I think that soundtracks, especially in the 80s, made a huge impact for the audience as a whole. Just for the movie itself, you look at some movies that weren't that great, but they had amazing soundtracks to them, and you still remember them because of their soundtrack. And I don't see that in today's movies. Like I don't hear a lot of really like soundtracks that really jump out at you. Go, wow, these are great songs. Like I give an example of one that I really thought had a great soundtrack that was. It was more recent, but it was a more of a historical thing because it was about Vince Papale from the Philadelphia Eagles.
Oh, I recently met him at a tailgate in Philadelphia.
Oh, that is way cool. By the way, congratulations to your hometown for winning the Super Bowl.
That was a big deal.
Phenomenal. Phenomenal. Awesome.
A lot of weeping grown men in my family.
Oh, yes. That's awesome.
Believe it.
Uncles, cousins.
Very cool. But Invincible was such a great movie, and as I actually went to the theater to see this one because I'm a big football fan, and I like Mark Wahlberg, and I thought, wow, this is a real story. It'd be really cool to see. So I went to the theater, and that soundtrack blew my mind. It was like so 70s, and just so it has so many great songs on it, and that's what really made a lot of movies in the 80s so much better. Than what they could have been or what they would have been without that music.
Well, I mean, think about how many. I love going to used record stores, although I mostly buy used CDs. But when you go to the soundtrack section and you flip through and you see the Top Gun soundtrack, I had that. The Footloose soundtrack, the Grease soundtrack, and then even if you get into the 90s, you had movies like Singles the one with Winona Ryder, with Mai Sharona, Reality Bites. Yep. Like
Reality Bites,
are almost movies that, I mean, they had good components to it, but you could hear parents sneering at those movies saying, "Ah, is that a movie or is it just a soundtrack?" Right? You had people buying soundtracks not having seen a movie. I don't know of that now unless it's a movie like Pitch Perfect where they're selling the songs as part of the movie.
Right.
And I love the Pitch Perfect series.
Which in a lot of cases, those are throwback songs anyways.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
A lot of them aren't new. Like, look at Glee, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How many of those are...
ruined a lot of songs.
I tried to like it, and I'm amazed how much I could not get into that show.
But
I
Hey,
me
so
too.
I got to jump in here for a second. You said you go to used record stores, right? We have one here in the town I live in. And I went up there the other day because my wife and I are both, I just turned 50, she's turning 50. So we had this big birthday party for each other and it was all 80s themed.
Awesome.
So we have a bunch of records from the 80s, like, but my wife and I were both kind of rockers, you know, so we have a lot of rock and roll. And she's like, you got to go find like George Michael or Michael Jackson, something, some kind of record. And we're like, yeah. So I went up to the record store. They had nothing, but what they did have, one record blew me away. Now, have you ever seen a movie called Voyage of the Rock Aliens?
Me?
Yeah, shy.
No, I have not. I've not even heard of that movie. Is this like heavy metal type thing or?
No, not heavy metal at all.
This is the Piazzadora.
Yes, yeah, okay. This is Piazzadora. And it's one of the cheesiest 80s movies. It may be the cheesiest 80s movie I've ever seen. And it has Piazzadora as the lead role, and they break into dance and song during the movie. Like, it's almost a musical. It's very bizarre.
Like a space musical.
Yes, but it takes place on Earth, but they're aliens that come to Earth and they have break in song and dance. And Piazzadora is the lead role, and she does this. Well, I'm at the record store, I'm flipping through, and I'm looking for Michael Jackson. Well, in Michael Jackson's slot is one by Jermaine Jackson. And what is it? It's a song with Piazzadora from the movie Voyage of the Rock Aliens. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. I didn't even know this was available, but
that's it is amazing.
I was so tempted to buy it, but I kind of need
to see this movie now. I'm gonna see this movie and report back.
And it is
I
on,
need to see this.
It's on YouTube. You can find that.
Yeah, Scott's talked about this where we're talking about doing like a Mystery Science Theater kind of thing.
It's so bad. It's awesome. Okay. It's one of those. So, it's one of those that you're like, you're.
So can I talk about another podcast that I love? I do too.
Sure.
If you know, people have like squad goals, if there is a podcast, to me, the ultimate podcast is this podcast called How Did This Get Made? Have you guys ever heard it?
I have.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. I mean, I've listened to a few of them. Like, I listened to the one that was about
I listened to the one Last Dragon.
Oh yeah. They've done like 50% of the canon films at this point. To me, this is the exact kind of movie that they would do. Those guys are amazing.
I'm going to have to look it up, see if they actually did it.
They might have. They've done a bunch of weird musicals, particularly the Canon Films ones like The Apple and that kind of strange stuff.
Hey, Rose.
Hey.
Did you notice how I lost control over talking about the main topic?
I'm so sorry.
We are so way off.
Tangent boy. Thank you. I'm the king of tangents. You may be the overlord, but I'm the king of tangents.
All right, wait, then I have a question that'll bring us back, okay?
All right, let's hear it.
Because we're talking about the music and the soundtrack. So is there a particular combination song dance scene in Break-In that is your number one choice? Like, we'll often play, and we're going to play this extensively with you next week, Dave. We'll talk about our MVPs in a lot of different categories, a particular movie or show. Is there an MVP song dance combo in Break-In when you think about the soundtrack and the scenes?
I don't remember the song that was playing, but I remember the sequence where Ozone is dancing with the broom.
Turbo.
That was Turbo.
Turbo, sorry. Yeah. I meant Turbo, sorry. Yeah. That was fun. And I wish I remember the song from it.
I'm going to look it up because I was just looking to see what the name of that song was recently.
Okay.
Because there's some odd stuff on that soundtrack. I mean, like, I think there's Kraftwerk on that soundtrack. Is that song?
Probably. Surprise me.
But that's the sequence with that question. That's the first one that popped to mind. I guess same question goes to Scott.
I don't know the soundtrack well enough. And, you know, I don't know who did what. I remember one song, like I said before, from that era. And it was Jam On It, and I'll never forget that song because it was played over and over and over again in the breaking circle that I hung out with or whatever. And because I was also in the more of a heavy metal scene, like Judas Priest and AC/DC and all that stuff. So I didn't really pay attention as much to it. But I would have to say that I thought Ice-T, his performance, you know, rapping and being the DJ there, was kind of cool to see, you know, and being so early in his career, not only in his acting career, but in his musical career, too. You know, I think it really kind of catapulted him. So the dance scene that he is initially part of, I think it kind of stands out in my head a little bit. I don't
dance
know.
Dance battle. But
First dance battle, before they had Kelly along with them, I think.
Yeah. I think that's the one where they got, like, it was war in the background.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember that.
So the song, the Broom song, by the way, it's called Tour de France, and it is by Kraftwerk.
Nice. Mm. I own that.
This movie's made a lot of
money. You own that, Rose?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yeah, I've got quite a few Kraftwerk albums.
Really?
But yeah, that Ice-T thing, I mean, I didn't, you know, it wasn't until I was older that I was rewatching it that I was like, is that Ice-T? It was probably 15 years.
It's lemonade, man. Can't you read the sign?
Good one. Yeah, I didn't know he was in that until, you know, I just rewatched it. But I was reading some of the like the reviews and stuff, somebody mentioned Ice-T. I'm like, oh wow, Ice-T's in that. So as I was rewatching it, I'm like, oh, there he is. That's cool, you know. And I'm not a rap fan by any means, but I like him as an actor. I love him in the Law and Order series. Rose, what about you? What was your favorite music part?
I'm always a fan of the montage where, you know, they're practicing. They're teaching her the moves and teaching her the break dance. So I honestly don't remember the name of the song, but that's like my favorite song dance sequence.
The first time when they're learning in the garage.
Yes. And she's like, you know, she was good. She goes, but I'm better.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So you're going to teach me. Oh, really? And I'm thinking, I actually said it. I actually, oh, really? Okie dokie. But yeah, so she's, she had to work hard for that movie. I mean, cause to me, you know, Boogaloo Shrimp and, you know, Shabadoo, they professional dancers, choreographers, whatever you want to call them. I know she's a professional dancer too, but it's not really her wheelhouse, you know, the style of dancing. And I know she probably had to work like super hard to get there. So kudos for her for doing that. But that had to have been, I like how they demonstrated a difficulty in her learning that, because there's just so many facets, you know, breaking and popping and locking, and you're like, every muscle, every joint, everything has to be moving, all, you know, to make that, some of those moves so fluid, you know, they just look like there's no bones in their body, you know. That takes a lot of practice and effort, and it was just, you want them to succeed, and you want them to go, yeah, you go get those suckers. So yeah,
I love the close-ups and the hands in that scene.
Yeah.
Yeah. And by the way, the song is Chaka Khan's Ain't Nobody.
Ain't Nobody. Yeah.
Love me better. Ain't nobody. Right?
Oh, yeah.
Yep. That's it.
Is that it?
You can't stop.
What was
the name? Go ahead, Scott. Go ahead.
The creepy dancing song with Franco. What was the song there? Because that's what I thought the song was there.
No, the creepy dancing song is just his, like, modern
instrumental. All right. Dun, dun, dun. Okay. Yeah, it sounded like a flamenco.
Oh yeah, you know what, I mixed up the songs. The songs earlier. Okay. That's my bad. Okay. Again, you're gonna get another angry voicemail. The arms and charms around me is when she's dancing with Ozone during Ain't Nobody.
Okay.
But it's like, it's the same move with the hands around the face, the caress. That she does with Franco, that she's sort of integrating into the dance with Ozone.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, okay. Shai, that's something we will not abide by on this show, is any mistakes.
Oh, okay.
So You're banned.
That's
banned
it. Yeah. From the
show. Oh my god.
I mean, you know, there are. I mean, you have. I'm sure, based on all the interactions I've had with you guys, the nicest people. I mean, people who are you know, believing in the Be Excellent motto, engage with you guys. But I've listened to other podcasts, particularly sort of in the geek world, which I love all that mm-hmm. stuff, and I'm always amazed at how much like angry hate mail these guys get from people who are angry at either their opinions or their mistakes.
Wow.
Seems,
yeah. And like, we ask for feedback. You know, we ask people to do it. Yeah, let us know what we're screwing up.
Our first podcast episode was based entirely around our first and our second one that we did. I mean, a few months ago, were based entirely around mistakes that we had made, but we did not realize until the end of the episode. So like I'd introduced the whole concept of Friday Night Movie, and I told my sisters, and this particular movie, The Last Stand with Bruce Willis, was the first Friday Night Movie. And then as the conversation's going on, they're like, dude, not only were we not there, but the movie was released like 2 or 3 years after we started the tradition. and then it happened in the next episode about something else. My sister's husband said, so is your bit that you guys tell everyone, you know, a premise and then you turn out to be wrong halfway through and you've wasted everyone's time? No, we have since cleaned it up.
No, there was a message that went between Rose, Scott, and I, and I was like, I think I'm just going to start throwing in random shit and making it up just to see who calls us on it.
Oh yeah, what was it that I corrected you on this last on the 75? Oh, it was Vanna White.
Yeah, Vanna White. Yeah.
You know, he's like, because 1975 is when the Wheel of Fortune started, and he's like, man, I can't believe Vanna White. She looks so good. You know, I can't believe she's been on the show that long. Well, she didn't actually start on the show until 82. So I had to throw that out there as a correction. That's just what I can't help myself sometimes. like, it drives me nuts when I see typos in people's posts on Facebook. Not so much Twitter, because I know you got to shorten things up just to make a point. But
you're usually doing it with one hand while multitasking, doing something else.
Yeah, you know, driving and eating a cheeseburger and smoking, cigar while you're typing in your...
How many people were so fascinated that all these dancers smoked?
Well, like, I'll say this. My kids, because it's really a different time now, my kids were very, you know, what? Ozone, the hero, smokes? Because you don't really see them anymore. And we always explained to them, we said, look... I mean, it's a little bit disingenuous to say this about the 80s, but we say, look, it was a different time. people didn't know that they were that bad for you. And, you know, back then in the 80s, the same way when they ask us why, when the Netflix is buffering and we say, look, hey, it was a different time when we were kids. We had commercials. We just had to watch what was on.
We couldn't binge anything.
The heroes in the
movies.
There
was no binging.
Yeah.
No, Lord, no. Yeah.
You had to go walk up to the TV to change the channel.
Yeah. Click, click, click.
The kid was the remote control.
No, you know, it was a different time as far as smoking goes. Because I remember, I believe it was like right around 80, somewhere between 82, 83, 84, that they banned commercials, actual like TV commercials. From showing, like, advertising to smoke. And they went to all, you know, billboards and magazines and stuff could still do it. But they banned it from TV commercials. And then years later, I remember they re-released The Exorcist, which was released in, you know, the 70s. Mm-hmm. And they showed in that movie doctors smoking in the rooms with the patients. I mean, it was
it's
completely changed. Smoking is totally not cool anymore. Well, another tangent. Thank you very much.
I mean, I don't remember ever seeing the only smoking related things I saw on television was I remember not, you know, don't smoke ads. Particularly, do you guys remember this? And maybe this is because I grew up in Canada, so there's a lot of strange things about my pop culture childhood. There's, like, odd gaps. But do you remember this singer named Luba?
No.
Yeah, okay. No. I just looked her up. She's from Canada, which is probably why you got... Mm. Anyways, there was a commercial, an anti-smoking commercial featuring her, where she was just dancing on cigarette butts, like smushing them out with her feet. That's the earliest smoking-related commercial I remember.
Wow. Crazy.
The only thing that comes to mind is, like, you know, this is your brain on drugs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I watched it by, or I learned it by watching you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I remember that one. Oh, yeah. Home. Heard.
I remember there was this one with Michael J. Fox where he was, like, talking about, you know, kids not playing with matches, you know, and it was, like, you know, very anti, you know, setting fire to the house kind of a thing. You know, it was just like, oh, that's odd. But it was just kind of cool that, you know, it was Michael J. Fox, and then all of a sudden that was, like, you know, it was, like, one of those, you know, the more you should know kind of moments.
Oh, yeah.
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 I would love... I hope someone on YouTube has a collection of all of the odd safety ads from the 80s.
Oh, man.
There were so many.
That'd be cool.
Hope someone's done that.
That would be... I really do, too. And it just... You know, when I first started watching MST 3000 and they started putting the shorts in there, you know, that you... all of the things that you... watched in, like, health class, like, back in the day. It was way before your time, but you know, all the hygiene things and how to date and when should you drive and all this stuff, you know, I just laugh every time I see those things, because I used to have to watch crap like that in high school and in junior high school, and it was just like, I'm glad somebody else is making fun of these stupid things, because they're boring as hell, you know. Apparently the teachers didn't give a damn enough to stand up in front of you and go, yeah, well, you're not supposed to do this, you know. So don't do it. Well, here's a movie about it. Go watch that. It's like, okay. Thank you, Mrs. Krabappel.
Nurse Ratched. All right, so I think we need to start wrapping things up. And to Shai's request, I think with breaking, we need to... First off, do the how much would you pay part of our show. So how much would you pay to watch Breaking again? We'll start with Scott.
I wouldn't pay to watch this again, actually. I'm
sorry. $0?
Yeah, ouch. I wouldn't pay it. If I can find it on YouTube, I'll watch it that way, but I don't think I would pay it again.
Okay. In contrast, Shai.
So... First of all, I have paid to watch it again because I own it multiple times on DVD. So woo! I don't exactly... Is the full premise just that's that question? How much would you pay? Like,
yeah, let's assume you don't own it, right? And you would find it on demand. What is the dollar amount that you would say, okay, I'll watch it?
Well, then you're making it easy for me, because let's say the high end of a dollar demand, you know, a dollar on demand movie is $20 to own. 100%, yeah. I'd do that. I'm actually going to up the ante here, and because every once in a while, I'll run into a movie, I am a little bit, not obsessed, but I have a little bit of a rosebud thing of chasing down things from my childhood, where I'll want to find things, and sometimes they're out of print. So let's say it was like an out of print, you know, film or VHS that I had to go find from some, you know, used book dealer in another country, and I'd have to buy it on eBay. I'd probably, for Breakin', knowing that I would get to have Breakin' and see it because there isn't another place for me to see it, upwards of $100.
Really?
Yeah, like if I just woke up one day and was like, oh, I wish I could see this movie Breakin' again, and the only way I could see it would be to track down some random VHS. And I say this only because there's a similar situation with something I don't even love nearly as much as Breakin', where there was this TV special. It was like a CBS, like, book TV special that we had on VHS when I was little, called Misunderstood Monsters. Does this ring a bell at all? I'm sure it doesn't.
No.
Anyways, we had it on tape. My sisters and I just watched it over and over and over again. It was some after-school special my parents had taped. Well, we threw out these challenges to find old stuff, and this was like the holy grail. And the way I was able to find it was by buying a film canister from someone's estate and got the original print from some library, and then spent God knows how much money having it transferred to digital afterwards. Now, granted, I'd fallen down the rabbit hole. I'd already committed once I got the film canister. So for break in a movie that I love and feel the way I feel about it, we're definitely hundreds of dollars if it was out of print and I needed to find it. So 20 is a no-brainer.
So let's assume it's like an on-demand type of movie. You would have no problem paying whatever amount they were asking.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, not thousands of dollars, but, you know, yeah.
Okay. Fair enough. Scott. All right, Scott. No, Rose. Sorry.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. How are you? Come from someone who scours thrift stores and pawn shops on a regular basis for VHS movies that I've grown to love over the years with my kids. I can honestly attest to the fact that I have not seen this on VHS here in Washington State. Now, granted, my nucleus of where I go to shop is a bit small, but still, you know, they've got 9 million copies of Independence Day, but, you know, you just can't find Breakin' for love or money. It continues because I eventually want to get it for one of my kids for a Christmas present. We do the gag Christmas present thing. And I've been pretty successful over the years, so I've only got stumped once. I want to say $1.50. I'd pay $1.50 to see it again.
$1.50.
If it wasn't available on YouTube.
Okay.
Dave, what about you?
Yeah, due to my recent revisit of it, I'm probably in the same camp as you, Scott. $0. Yeah. The nostalgia factor for the 80s, yeah, it was really cool back then, but now it's like, now that I have revisited it lately, yeah, if you would have asked me that question maybe a month ago, I might have had a different answer.
I agree. I'll agree with that. I probably would have paid like $3 to see it again.
Yeah,
I've seen it, I've had my fill for another, you know.
Yeah, I'm good
20
now.
20 years or whatever.
I'm good now.
I'm sorry, Shai. I feel terrible that we've been ripping out.
No. This is awesome. I have saved like a couple more nuggets for you guys before we go though. So
okay,
it'll make you either feel worse or better. I don't know. It'll make you feel like you got the right
guy. I have a clean conscience, so I don't know about those two. My conscience is clean.
Well, the other criteria I wanted to get to is this a creamy or crunchy movie? Let's start with Shai.
So, as I have listened closely to the creamy and crunchy conversations, I don't see one as negative versus positive. I see them
as not just
descriptions. Yeah.
Yes.
And for me, because of the smoothness of Ozone and the fluidity of Turbo's moonwalk and the grace of Kelly's dancing, I'm going to go creamy.
Hmm. All right.
That's a good one.
What are you at? Did I lose your Rose?
Oh, I thought you said Scott. Sorry.
No.
The other Scott. Okay. No. And the other Scott. Honestly, with the pop locking and all the staccato movements of all the break dance, and I'm gonna say crunchy.
Oh, that's cool.
Oh, all right, Scott, where are you at with this?
I'm really torn on this one because it's like we said, it's not neither one is good or bad.
Correct.
But I do like Shai's argument for the creamy. As with all the smooth moves and stuff. On the other hand, Rose's description of popping and locking is pretty good on the crunchy side. But but I'm leaning creamy right now on this one.
Wow, we are going to be right smack dab down the middle. We won't have a consensus or a I'm going a lot like what Rose was saying. I'm thinking of the scenes that, you know, I really enjoyed was the breakdance fighting, you know, the version of the street, you know, and this should be crunchy. So that's where I'm leaning towards.
Very cool.
Yeah, so two crunchies, two creamies. That's pretty cool. I like that. By the way, Shai, what's your, if you're eating peanut butter, what's your favorite?
Crunchy. Without a doubt. Okay. Without a doubt. Yeah, crunchy.
Okay.
I mean, I don't really eat a lot of peanut butter anymore. I miss it. It's one of the things that I like. It's one of these things where, like, a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, I can't have one. I have to have three. Just back to the pancake for the table thing we started with. Mm-hmm. I'm not at a three peanut butter and jelly sandwich phase in my life anymore.
I had a peanut butter and jelly sandwich today, actually. Creamy.
I hate you.
Aren't they great?
I love them. That's one of my favorite things to eat.
Sorry, Rose.
That's fine.
I know. You can't have nuts.
I know.
Poor thing.
Yeah.
That stinks, really. I can't imagine.
All right, now Shai, Shai, you mentioned you're going to bring some nuggets up for us. What are you going to share with us?
Okay, so number one, I've now seen the picture from Scott that he had sent with the guys hanging out in front of the pinball machine, and the dude in the black vest and the red shirt. First of all, I just want to say, looks exactly like a buddy of mine whose nickname is Donnie Disco, and nice. Donnie Disco is a great break dancer. So,
are we talking about the guy with the vest, or are we talking about the guy with the standing up?
The guy with the vest waving.
Okay, him.
With the fingers sticking out. He looks like Donnie Disco, and Donnie Disco's a killer breakdancer. And so, that's just haunting. That's number one. But number two, Todd. Well, Todd.
Yes, that's Todd.
Todd, okay. Based on his last name, they're not related. Based on the message you sent, but wow, they could be. The other thing is this. So in June, I better check and double check, make sure in June, there is an awesome local Comic-Con coming here, starting here, by these guys who are really just genuine, cool guys. It's called All-Star Comic-Con. And at All-Star Comic-Con in Northern Virginia, they are going to have Shabadoo come and do a workshop. Like, you can pay and get, you know, with a bunch of people to get, like, a VIP experience. Yeah, it's June, June 16th. And I have purchased for myself, my wife, and my two daughters tickets to the Shabadoo VIP dance workshop. Where,
so you're gonna learn how to break dance from Shabadoo.
Yeah, which, like, if I could tell my 5-year-old self that I would be in the same place as Shabadoo with my own children, and when I saw this announcement, I immediately created an animation, like a prototype animation for the All-Star Comic-Con guys, and sent it to them of Shabadoo giving one of the guys from the Comic-Con dance lessons. I think they dug it. I have now since made them a way more elaborate one. I have not shared that yet, but I'm very excited for this. This is going to be a big moment.
That is awesome.
That is so awesome.
It's awesome.
Because he's like 62 years old. I had no idea he was that old.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because I watched this movie, because I went back and I saw a Where Are They Now kind of a thing. And I'm looking at these people going, what? You're how old? You were like a kid. How old was I? I didn't realize he was a lot older than everybody on the whole movie. Oh, except for Chris and McDonald. But yeah, it says he's like 62 now, which is even more cool. Because he's still dancing.
Oh yeah, so that's gonna be a big moment.
Very happy for you.
So, does anyone know what Lucinda Dickey looks like nowadays?
No.
Yeah. I'd be curious actually, about that.
She looks really nice. She doesn't. Her husband is the executive producer on The Survivor, and she retired from acting like in 1990. She looks really good for 51. You know, since full head of hair, you know, nice face.
All right.
Good for
Survivor.
Her.
Survivor. I watched that one.
Yeah. So.
It's like the train wreck you can't watch, you can't look away from, you know? It's like you watch for the drama. You know, you want those, the heels, the evil people, you know, and it's like that's the reason to watch. But I was curious because, you know, like Scott mentioned, you know, Lucinda Dickey was cute, you know, back in the 80s. And I'm like, you know, how has she aged?
Very well. She's aged very well.
Outstanding. All right. So I think we need to kind of wrap this up. I know, Scott, you've got like things to do early morning, so you probably want to cut off. So
if you guys don't mind, if you guys can wrap this up, I'm going to head on out.
Sure.
Hey, Scott, this was really terrific. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. This is so much fun.
No, thanks for coming on board for a show. There's always good times to have guests back. We always love that. And any interaction you want to throw our way, let's do it.
Oh, well, awesome. Same here. And I'm looking forward to having Dave, and then maybe we'll have some more collaborations and guest things. We just had both of our parents on, and our ability to that we taped earlier today, and our ability to wrangle more than one guest at a time, I would say, is limited. And these are people related to us. So we're not very good hosts. But I would love to have all you guys. Every time you guys are talking, I want to jump in on the conversation, which I think is a good sign for a podcast. So thanks for having me.
Thanks for the compliments. I mean that means a lot to us, really. So
yeah, it does.
You guys have a great night, and I will talk to you sometime this week for next week, okay?
You're not even going to wait for the wrap-up? Jeez, come on.
Well, sometimes a wrap-up can...
Let him go.
Oh, you're right. Go. Okay. All right, we'll do the wrap-up after he drops.
Chrissy already went to bed anyway, so I got a couple things I got to do before I go to bed, too.
All right, good night, Scott.
Don't worry. I love you guys.
Okay? Love you too, bro.
I'll see you later. Bye. All right. Yep. Good night.
Bye. All right, so, Shai... Tell us about how people can get a hold of you.
So you can follow me at Pancake4Table. That's the word pancake, the number four, and table. On Instagram and Twitter, I post a lot of animation and drawing lately, although it's not exclusive to that, but that's a really fun passion for me, particularly on Instagram. And then on Twitter, I love interacting with people, especially you guys. It's a lot of fun to jump in on the various conversations. And you can follow the podcast, the Friday Night Movie podcast, by going to FridayNightMoviePod.com. I think that's the easiest way, and through there you can get to either iTunes or Podbean or other places that you might want to subscribe to that podcast. And coming up in the coming weeks will be, of course, you as a guest to continue the break-in crossover, which I'm just super thrilled to do.
Yeah, I'm going to have to watch Breaking 2 so I can get myself familiar with that movie again. It's been way too long. But, you know, once again, it's one of those things where, you know, back in the 80s, it was kind of this wonderful thing, and I'm curious to see how it's going to translate to 2018. So I'm really curious to see how I feel about it nowadays.
And just be ready to take a beating from my sisters when they find out like Breaking 2.
It's completely fine.
Okay, good. They mean it in the best way possible. I'll be the hill. Yeah, exactly. They'll mean it in the best way possible.
It's all good. The thing that we like to remind everybody is that if you want to get a hold of us, you know, via social media, go to our website. That's Banzai Retro Club at retroclub.com. That's BANZAI. There's plenty of ways to, you know, hook up with us, either be it Tumblr, be it Twitter, be it Facebook. All those links are there for your availability. The other thing that we also have is as we mentioned at the top of this whole conversation, is the ability to record us a voicemail. I want to encourage you to please do that. We will listen to those. We'll share that amongst the hosts. We'll talk about that. We just love getting that kind of feedback. Something else we like you to do is go out onto iTunes and do this thing called a review. And Rose is very fluent with telling us about that.
Oh, my goodness. You know, Lord love Apple. I was going to play a game on my iPad today, and it actually told me that I needed the iOS 10 version of my system. And I went, I don't think so. It kind of stopped at 9, but that's okay. Love you, Apple. If you go out on iTunes and you download our podcast and you listen to it, become a subscriber because you think we're awesome, please leave us a word of encouragement or a word of non-encouragement or constructs. Just talk to us, people. I mean, come on, we're not perfect. And I know I'm always dropping. I leave this podcast 2 days later. I'm going, man, you know, I meant to say something else instead of saying that. And I think I'll just, reflect that back into the podcast the next week. And I do not do that. So, you know, your brain can only retain so much information. So this is your task for this week. Go out there, download the podcast, listen to the podcast, review on the podcast, leave us a comment, and subscribe. You have one job. Get it done.
Do it. Outstanding. Thank you, Rose. The other thing that we like to remind people to do is through the website, bonsairetroclub.com, there's a ability to become a Patreon. And what that means is you can go in and give us a little something to help us run the website and or the fees to host the podcast. So you can go in and give us a little something, and it'll just help us. It'll just help us make things a little easier to deliver the content that we do. And so we want to encourage you to do that. Please make an effort if you can. Spare a few coins. We would love it.
Mm-hmm.
And the last thing is be excellent to each other. We want to make sure everybody has the just be nice to each other. Treat each other with the way that you'd want to be treated. You know, the golden rule is always out there. Just be really cool. Be nice. It's just a screwed up world out there right now with a lot of people being just jackasses. And you know, if you're one of our listeners, we hope that you aren't one of those people. So golden rule, be excellent to each other. Please do that for us. So, Shai, got anything, any last words for us?
Just want to say that one thing that we share is also we are a part of Team Hot Stuff. And
Team Hot Stuff, thank you.
And it is an awesome group of artists and creators. Creators is the best way I can describe it, but people doing great stuff, whether it's music or art or podcasts. And I love that everyone talks about social media in so many negative ways. I have mostly had really positive experiences, and things like Team Hot Stuff, which I guess Kristen Kaivo started, right? Has been an awesome experience, and I wish everybody in that group well. And when you see that hashtag out there, keep an eye out for the folks participating in it, because I'm sure everyone in it would love to grow that group to include more awesome creators. So sending all of the be excellentness to the Hot Stuff crew.
Yeah, and actually, you even created a shirt recently, design.
Yes, that is true. So one of the nights I was inspired by the group, I made a little animation of the Team Hot Stuff logo with some devil horns, and that is now on a T-shirt. If you go to the pancakefortable.com/merch section, it really just takes you to a Zazzle site, for which I was forced to take a very, very small commission, which I will give back into the group, but the very high price of that shirt has nothing to do with my choice. It has to do with the website there. But that being said, I think it's pretty cool, and it'll be really cool to see folks wearing those shirts and representing Team Hot Stuff around the country or the world.
Yeah, I think I even saw a post with you representing wearing their wearing that shirt.
My wife and I, we had to pay full price too. my wife and I ordered the first two shirts, and they're really cool. They came out really nice. They're really comfortable, and there's a lot of different styles you can pick, but we picked the ones that I used as the templates, and they worked out really well. And so a rare picture of myself on the pancake feed included the Team Hot stuff. It's probably the first one ever. So
nice.
First one ever picture of yourself
on the pancake feed. Probably that's probably the first one I put one of myself. Maybe one other time.
Okay, very cool.
Proud.
Well, speaking of self promotion, Rose.
Yeah.
Want to talk about your music?
Oh gosh, yeah.
Rose, I your voice. By the way, I love your covers.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate
you've
that.
You've got so much soul and heart. It's awesome.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that a lot. I've been, this year has been really taking off for so many reasons. I've been working on an album forever. I think I started, you know, recording in studio in like 2009. And I've, you know, when you start something, it's your project, you know, your, whatever you call it, you know, it's your baby. And you're like, okay, this is what I'm going to do. And you get so like focused on what you're going to do. And then you put it out there for other people to hear, and you don't get any feedback, and it's just like, oh, maybe I shouldn't be doing that. And then you kind of take a break, and then you go back into it, and like, oh, maybe I should do it this way. Oh, maybe I should do it this way. You know, and you still don't get any feedback. So finally, it's just like, you know, I don't give a rat's ass what you people think. I'm going to do my music when I want to do it, whether you like it or not. And I honestly think when you have something like that you feel that strongly about, you just kind of have to have that mindset, or you'll always be waiting for somebody to tell you whether it's good enough or not. So this year was different because I actually incorporated my own original songs, and I've got the first one out there, Could I Be? It's on my YouTube channel under Rosemary Fulton. There's two. I always tell the people, the one with the red rose is the music one. The other one with the blue rose is me videotaping something on a bus. So that's not very exciting. It's just, you know, me, a cappella, my own lyrics. I have recently found someone who found me that wants to do a piano piece for it. So, yay.
Nice.
Awesome. Yeah, I know. I'm getting people that are making comments on my stuff that hadn't done it before. I know, you know, and I owe this, I really owe it all to Team Hot Stuff. I really do. Because there's been so many people that have been, you know, that are involved into that group. And they are all like such, you know, huge, I call them real musicians because, you know, they'll play instruments, you know, they like sing like amazing Keith and Tommy and Peter, you know, and just the list goes on. And Skeleton Creek and Sean, you know, Walt and all these people that had Kristen, of course, are just amazing. And I just feel like, you know, this little tiny person that, you know, I'm just beginning, I'm just starting. But, you know, and they'll retweet, and then somebody else retweets, and then people will listen to it. So it's just been really amazing. So thank you for actually letting me showcase this on the podcast, because I'm working on another song for next month. And I'm just, as soon as I find my microphone, yeah, I can't do it the way I did all my other stuff. I recorded most of my stuff on my cell phone, my voice recorder. But this, actually, I have to put in Audacity and record with regular music. So it's just like, what happened to my microphone? I have to get another one. But so thank you, everybody out there who's been listening and supportive. And I just love you, everybody. And I'm really pumped for 2018. This is going to be it.
Yeah, you just continue to put, you know, your thing out there, you know, and yeah, that's really, it's something that, you know, as I've listened to other podcasts, and this is one that, like, a message from, like, the Nerdist and Will Wheaton, where they just talk about, I'm just going to put this thing out there, you know, something new out there that hasn't been out there before. And this is just my thing. And I'm not even going to worry about what other people think about it. I'm just going to put this thing out there. And that's what you're doing. And I love you for it. And, you know, please continue to do that. So, yeah, don't worry about, you know, any other kind of commentary that you might get, you know, if it's negative. You know, take the positive and just run with it. And if you don't get any kind of feedback, just continue to put something out there, something yeah. new that, you know, the rest of us will enjoy. And so thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
All right. So last but not least, we just want to have everybody, well, we just want to tell everybody, have a good whatever, because we have no idea when the hell you're listening to this thing. So whether it be a good day, be a good night, be a good afternoon, have a good whatever. Bye.
Bye, everybody.
This has been a Bonsai Retro Club production.
Bonsai, Daniel-san!
Hey, Bonsai!
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 Bonsai!